Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to weave two texts together today, the Old Testament with the Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Son of Man, can these bones of dead Israel live? Can the bones of Lazarus, 4 days in the grave, live? How about your dead, dry bones? Can they live? The answer, of course, is yes. By the breath of our Lord's word, they can. And in the gospel, Jesus promises that he is the resurrection and the life. Ezekiel sees dead Israel, a valley full of dry, dusty bones, very dry and very dead. Our bones are dried up, dead Israel says. Our hope is lost. We're clean, cut off. In other words, very dead, bone dry, dead. So Ezekiel, can these bones live? Not if it's up to Israel. The dead can't raise the dead. The dead don't raise themselves. Bones only lie there dry as dust, dead. So Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, if it's up to the Lord, of course. Absolutely, because he is the one who said in the beginning, let there be light, and his word does and gives what it says. And so, too, with his word, he raises the dead. And that's why he tells Israel or Ezekiel to preach, prophesy, preach over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All this reminds me of Genesis 2. You remember that, don't you? Of course you do. How did the Lord form Adam? He fashioned Adam from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. So to be alive is to have the worded breath or the breathed word of God blown on you or into you. Without the worded divine breath of the Lord, there is no life, there's only death. Dry, dusty bones of death. Well, I don't know about you, but if I was called to preach to a dead congregation like that, I'd refuse and say, see, but not Ezekiel. He obediently preaches. He speaks what the Lord has given him to say. Remember, Ezekiel doesn't preach his words, he preaches the Lord's. And the Lord's words are spirit and life. Kids, you remember the Latin? Viva vox Christi? Do you remember that? You adults, I taught them that. That's Latin for living voice of Christ. As Ezekiel preaches, dead Israel hears the viva vox Christi, the living voice of Christ. And that preaching does what it says and gives what it says. Dry as dust, dead bones come together again. Bone to bone, flesh, ligaments, muscle, skin. With the preaching of God's word comes the breath, the wind, the Holy Spirit blows. They stand and they live. Yes, dry, dusty bones can live by the Holy Spirited word of God preached. Israel's bones rise up, a great army, the text says, and so too your bones can live by the word and the Spirit of God preached over and into you. This is salvationally huge, brothers and sisters. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we are all born dead, born spiritually dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins, as Scripture teaches. Or dead as the dry bones of Israel. Now, we all think that we're alive, but we live in denial of death. We may try to convince ourselves that we have or that we can have a life apart from God's word and the Spirit, but in the end, there's only death and those dry, dusty bones. That's our lot in Adam. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Adam's death is our death too. What passes as life is really death delayed, a kind of race from the womb to the tomb. And so it is with every son of man. 93 times, God calls the prophet Ezekiel son of man. to remind him of his mortality. As a son of man, his destiny are these bones laid out before him. And they're our destiny as well. No one is the exception. All you have to do is check out the cemetery and go visit it. You'll see. Oh, speaking of the cemetery, one of our Lord's best friends, Lazarus, he was critically ill. He died and he was buried. Like the bones that Ezekiel saw. Mary and Martha, his sisters, had sent the pastoral 911 emergency call to Jesus. Please come quickly, Lord. Lazarus isn't well. Jesus, for a while, is a no-show. Can you trust a Jesus like that? In fact, when Jesus finally arrives, Lazarus is how many days dead? Four. 4 days dead and buried. Jesus let his best friend die. Nonchalantly, Jesus lets Lazarus die. And then Jesus has the audacity to tell his disciples, I'm going to go wake him up. Why does Jesus talk like that? Well, for Jesus, death is nothing more than a what? It's nothing more than a sleep from which we must be awakened. We can't revive ourselves, nor can others awaken us from this sleep. No alarm bells, no siren can wake us from death. What can? Here's what can. The Lord's divine, Holy Spirited word. And so Jesus is off. He marches to Lazarus's tomb to do what? To conquer death. To pierce through the darkness of the grave with his word and with his breath. That is to say, when he speaks, that's what's going on. And that is what Mary, Martha, and all the mourners will learn, and so do we. But for the moment, I suppose the sisters were deeply disappointed and hurt with the too late arriving Jesus. Does a friend really act like that? Does a friend who previously had been invited to their home really act like that? Remember, Martha cooked all day for the Lord. Do you remember that? In another story? I can just hear the angst in their voices when they say, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. He made the lame to walk. We sang it in the hymn, didn't we? Yeah. He gave the blind their sight. We just sang it, didn't we? Yeah. Couldn't he have come to Bethany sooner? He could have saved Lazarus from death. Martha is at least able to say, well, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. But there's more to Jesus than someone to whom God listens and grants favors. Jesus is not simply Son of Man, like Ezekiel, a mere mortal. He is the divine Son of Man, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is the creative Word in the flesh, the Word through whom all things were made and in whom everything holds together. And as Jesus himself says in John 6, his words are spirit and life. And as Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. So Martha's hope, however, did you notice? Martha's hope is for what day? The last day. The day of the resurrection of the body. She knows, rightly so, and she believes, rightly so, that on that day she will see her brother rise again. But there is something more on that day with Jesus that she does not know. Resurrection day, the last day, is not yet, but is now a now. Our hope is not just for a day to come, but for today. It isn't only about a resurrection to come, but rather a resurrection that is already here. It's now, in Jesus, who categorically declares, I am the resurrection and the life. It's the last of his seven I am sayings in John's gospel, you remember. And so the point is this, resurrection and life are present tense with Jesus, here and now. Whoever believes in me lives, even though he dies. In other words, he lives in spite of his death. He lives in his death. To believe in Jesus is to live. Death may be our destiny in Adam, but in Jesus, it's life. In Adam, all die. In Jesus, all are made alive. You, dear baptized believers, you live even though you die. In fact, death does not have mastery over you because death no longer has mastery over who? Jesus. He's the resurrection and the life. Now, to be baptized into Jesus, to believe in him and to trust the promise that he has made to you in your baptism is to have life now, even as you wind your inexorable way to death. And with Jesus, of course, there's always more, isn't there? Yep. Listen to what he says. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Literally, in the Greek, will never die forever. Yeah, you're going to die. And you live in Jesus in spite of your death. But living and trusting in Jesus, you will never die forever. Death can't hold you. The grave cannot hold you because Jesus has broken the bonds of death and the grave forever with his own dying and rising on the third day. Now, to show that his words do and give what they say, and to show that he truly is the resurrection and the life, what does Jesus do? He goes to the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Now, who's worried? Martha's worried. There's going to be a stench. She doesn't quite trust that Jesus is who he says he is, the resurrection and the life. But with Jesus, death has lost its sting. The grave has been conquered. The stench of death's decay gives way to the fresh breath of life. So he goes to the tomb, and he blasts out a prayer for the benefit of those who are watching, and he shouts into the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth!" His words, his breath. And like Israel's dry bones in the valley, Lazarus emerges from his own grave wearing his burial clothes. Can your dry, dead bones live? Can those whom we've buried, like Terry yesterday, and the many that we've buried over the past few months or years that are so dear to you, can they live? Absolutely. Just ask Lazarus. Jesus let him die, but that wasn't the worst thing that could happen, nor for you. Yes, we're born dead in Adam, but God has made us alive in Jesus Christ, his Son, by grace, a gift, through faith, not our doing, but God's doing. So you can't ask the dead to raise themselves. Ezekiel didn't tell the bones to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Instead, he preached. He preached God's word to them. And as he preached God's word, the Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, was at work. That's what God does to our dry, dusty, Adamic bones in baptism and in the preaching of the gospel. He makes believers out of unbelievers. He raises the spiritually dead to new spiritual life that's spelled F-A-I-T-H in the Good Friday forgiveness that he gives to sinners, all with his word, which is also his divine breath. Brothers and sisters, baptized into Christ's death and life, you have the Spirit of God, the breath of God, dwelling in you. In Adam, you're dead and dying, but in your baptismal rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Brothers and sisters, this is as certain and sure as Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead, is certain and sure. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Oh, trust him, and you will live even though you die. Live in him and trust him, and you will never die forever. Oh, that's great joy, isn't it? Of course it is. In the name of Jesus, amen.